3. So if you go ahead and open to Malachi chapter 3, that is the last book of the Old Testament. So if you find Matthew, just go back a little bit. You'll find it, Malachi chapter number 3. And we've been studying on stewardship now. And stewardship is the management of the affairs of another or what belongs to another. We left off with this last week. How can you please your Lord when you tithe? First, give him first place in everything. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then we honor him with our first fruits. So honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. That's Proverbs 3:9. That's how we honor him. We show him honor. So you tithe first before you really do anything, before you spend any money. You should just know that you're going to tithe and give to the Lord because it is his. And now we've looked at tithing. We've looked at our responsibility to tithe. We've looked at what the tithe is. It belongs to the Lord. It's 10%. But what about an offering? Because we're in Malachi 3, and he says in verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And look at this, he says, in tithes and offerings. So God mentions offerings as well, not just tithes. And God says, you've robbed me in tithes, not only tithes, but in offerings. So the tithe is already the Lord's, but clearly God expects us to give offerings. So what is that then? You have the tithe and you have the offering. You're like, well, it's all an offering. No, they're separate. There's something different. So an offering is something above and beyond a tithe. So you haven't given an offering to God until you've given above your tithe, because clearly tithes and offerings. The tithe is already his. Remember, that's important. We understand that. So God expects then that we would give an offering at some point. He doesn't say how often, he doesn't say what, when, but he expects that there should be an offering being given, meaning something above and beyond what a tithe is. I like this statement. It says this, tithing requires an obedient heart. Okay, tithing requires an obedient heart because it's God's. He says this is mine. You need to give it to me. So that's obedience. Okay, but giving requires a willing heart. To give takes a willing heart. In the Bible, there are offerings that are referred to as free will offerings. If you would look for Ezra chapter 1. It's going to be before Psalms. It's after 2 Chronicles, Ezra chapter 1. You have Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. Ezra chapter 1. Ezra 1:4, it says, and whosoever remaineth, I'm sorry, is everybody there? I'll wait. Ezra chapter 1, verse 4. It says, and whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts beside the free will offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Beside the free will offering. Okay, and then Ezra chapter 3 and verse 5. Okay, Ezra's dealing with the restoration of the temple. Ezra chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, and afterward offered the continual burnt offering, both of the new moons and of all the set feasts of the Lord that were consecrated, and of everyone that willingly offered a freewill offering unto the Lord. Okay, so there were those that willingly offered a freewill offering. So there are freewill offerings the Bible talks about. So tithing requires an obedient heart, but giving requires a willing heart. Now, if we're going to give and to give joyfully, there's a key to doing that. And this is probably the greatest requirement that would be set forth on us. And this is how you can give from a willing heart. To give joyfully, you must first give yourself to the Lord. Okay, if you want to be able to give joyfully, you need to first give yourself to the Lord. So we're going to look at a couple scriptures here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians 8. Second Corinthians chapter 8, we'll pick up in verse 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." So we want you to know about the grace of God that's given to the churches of Macedonia. So this is God's grace is enabling them to do this, is what he's saying. "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." Now think about this. We talked about to give joyfully, you have to first give yourself to the Lord. Okay, now they're in a great trial of affliction, but it says how in a great trial of affliction, they're the abundance of their joy, look at this, and their deep poverty. They were in deep poverty. I would venture to say nobody in this room has ever experienced deep poverty. Okay, their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. So they were liberal in their giving. Meaning they just wanted to give even more. Verse 3, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves." So look at, this is what God says about giving. "To their power I bear record, yea, and even beyond their power." So it was their power, their ability, but beyond that. Okay, beyond what they were able to. "And beyond their power they were willing of themselves." Look at this, they were willing of themselves. So to give takes a willing heart. Verse 4, "Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." With much entreaty, they were begging us basically that we would receive the gift that they had sacrificed to give, that they had sacrificed all this to do. And look what it says here, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first," here's how this was possible. Here's how this, through this great trial of affliction and their deep poverty, they were able to give with joy. Look at it. "And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." They first gave themselves to the Lord. That's how they were able to do it. That's how God's grace was able to work in them. That's how in their deep poverty, in this great trial they were going through, they could give with joy because they gave themselves to the Lord. Have you given yourself to the Lord? These are saved, baptized people, and he's talking about them giving themselves to the Lord. Okay, this is how they were able to do this. In their deep poverty, the likes of which none of us have ever known. Thank God. But they were able to give liberally. Why? Because they first gave themselves to the Lord. Let's look at another one. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Most of us are familiar with this. If you're not, you need to be familiar with this. This should be like our I don't know. I can't think of the word. This should be just a regular part of our lives. Forgive me. The word escaped me. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Our theme, that's what this should be, our theme. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God," look at this, "that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." It's only reasonable, God says. But what's he asking us through the Apostle Paul? He says, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice to me. That's how they were able to do this. They first gave themselves. This is what God's asking of us. Hey, I'm begging you by the mercy of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, you're set apart. "Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." So we have to first give ourselves. And I believe this is the greatest requirement for every area of stewardship in our life, every area of stewardship in your life, every area of service for God in your life, whatever it is, you have to first give yourselves. And this is where we need to get back to, is that we are giving ourselves to God. We are broken and humbled before God, and we give ourselves to Him and say, okay, God, what? Here am I, Lord, send me. We need to get to that point where we're saying, here am I, Lord, send me. Are you there? Have you given yourself to God? If we're going to give joyfully, you have to give yourself to the Lord. Next, God loves a cheerful giver. Therefore, we should strive to be cheerful givers. And again, the rest of this falls in line when you give yourself to the Lord. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 9, 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. Second Corinthians 9, 7. It says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Look at this. Here's how God doesn't want us to give. Not grudgingly or of necessity. Why? For God loveth a cheerful giver. God loveth a cheerful giver. That's what God loves. He loves a cheerful giver. So we should strive to be cheerful givers. Okay, God loveth a cheerful giver. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. So He loves a cheerful giver. And if we are this and we do these things, we give by faith and faithfully, then God will provide for all of your needs. Okay, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Again, God can make it happen. God has the power. God can enable it. All right. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. See, God wants us to abound to every good work. So He's going to provide for our needs, is what He's saying. He's like, I want you to do good work. So I'm going to provide so that you have all sufficiency in all things. My grace will abound to you to help you do the things that you need to help you. God wants us to succeed. God wants us to serve Him. So God will provide for all of our needs if we give by faith and faithfully. Matthew 6:33. I've mentioned this verse a lot because it applies to our lives. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God will take care of our needs if we will seek His kingdom first. Now, what will help this provision for our needs is found in one word. Because we all, the way we live, as blessed as we are, like you talk to people, they're like, oh, I need my cell phone. No, you don't. No, you don't. Oh, I need this car. No, you don't. No, you don't. I need this house. No, you don't. No, you don't. Well, I need this gun. No, you don't. No, you don't. I need this purse. No, you don't. No, you don't. We get mixed up on what needs are. Needs are what you actually need to survive. And that's pretty basic. This is what God's promising to take care of. Your shelter, your food, your air, your water. Okay, those are needs. That's what we need. And that's what God promises to provide for us. And that can happen, or rather our perspective can be what it needs to be if we're content. If we're content. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And again, that's like God has to be enough for you. You need to be in a place where God is enough for you. He's saying, look, don't be covetous. Be content with the things you have. And you should be content with everything that you have, because I have promised I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I should be enough for you. I should be your all. And even thinking of myself, when I hear that, I'm like, ouch, that hurts, because I don't think like that. Is God enough for me? Is God enough for you? He needs to be. You need to get to a place where God is enough for you. Think about this. If everything was taken from you, would God be enough? I'm talking everything. Your family, that could be your siblings, your spouse, your children, your parents, your job, your health. If everything was taken from you, would God be enough? Think of Job. Think of Job. God was enough for Job. I don't want to go through that. I don't want any of you to go through that. But when Job went through the fire of testing, he came forth like gold because God was enough for him. And Job was a rich man, filthy rich, far richer than any of us in this room. Yet God was enough for him. Is God enough for you? If the worst of the worst happens, would God be enough for you? Turn with me to Psalm 37, if you would, please. Psalm chapter 37. This is from King David. This is really dealing with worry in people's lives. He says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." So don't worry is what he's saying. But Psalm chapter 37, verse 4 is where we'll pick up. There's so much good here. But he says this, David says this, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Delight yourself in God, and he's going to give you the desires of your heart. Get to a place where God is enough for you. How do we get there? Well, I delight myself in the Lord, and he's going to give me the desires of my heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And so many people, we can read, you can read that two ways. He'll give thee the desires of thine heart. And most people are going to read it like they're going to see God as a genie in a lamp. And it's like, here's my wish. And if I just delight myself in you, you're going to give me whatever I want. Maybe it could mean that, but I think more so it means he's going to change the desires of your heart. Or maybe not even necessarily change, but he will remove a bad desire and he'll put the right desire in there. He'll put the right desire in there. I can look back on my life and God has changed the desires of my heart. There was a time I did not like listening to what's church music. But God changed that. He put a desire in my heart for it. I now enjoy it. I like it. He changed the desire in my heart. There was a time in my life I never thought I would even be going to church. I didn't want to go to church. I didn't care about church. I didn't care about God. Never thought I'd be a preacher. But God put that desire in my heart to be a preacher. God put the desire there. And that's what I think the gist of that is. I don't necessarily think it can't mean that you have some desire and God will give you that. I think it can mean that too. But I think for the most part, it means he'll change the desire within your heart. But we have to delight ourselves in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. And remember that Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, he doesn't change. So that means if we're going to delight ourselves in him, then we have to accept him. We know this for who he is and what he is, what he stands for his truths that he's presented. That means the truths we don't always like or fall in line with. Delight yourself in the Lord. God has to be enough for you. Is God enough? Lastly, remember to let God do the work through a willing heart. Again, we were in 2 Corinthians 8 earlier, verses 1 through 4 says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." So They first gave themselves, but it was the grace of God that worked in them. God worked in them. Let God work through your heart. Give God that space. Maybe you've been fighting him about something, and just give him a little space in there. Let him start to push you, to move you. And then this is what I asked the men to pray for before the service started. I was just like, pray that we will be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit of God. That we will listen to what God says, to God's working in our heart, to when we're reading the Word of God, God convicts us about something, that we'll listen to it instead of push him away and fight him. If we want to see revival, if we want to see God do something amazing, it has to start with us. It has to start in our hearts, that we listen to God, that we are sensitive to what God is saying, that especially as we go out to share the gospel with people, as we're at work or whatever, and God is like, talk to them, tell them, talk to them, that we listen to that still, small voice. That it's so easy to just speak over. It's so easy to just drown out that voice. But we have to be sensitive to that. And that's when we'll see God work, and when we'll see God move, is when we yield ourselves to him. When we give ourselves to him. We give him that little bit of space. We stop fighting what he's trying to do in us. But we allow him in. We allow him to move us. Let God work through a willing heart. 2 Corinthians 8:7 says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. A willing heart, willing to give is the context of it, but a willing heart. Is God enough for you? Have you given God place in your heart? Are you willing to give God place in your heart? This goes beyond just, you know, giving as we look at stewardship like that, but all areas of stewardship. We're all stewards. We all manage something that belongs to God, every single one of us. And there's four areas of stewardship for the Christian specifically. First, your time. Are you giving God place in that? Your talents? Are you giving God place in that? Your testimony? And your treasure? Your testimony. What does your testimony say? The things you do, the way you act. What is that saying about you? Do you have a willing heart? Have you given yourself to the Lord first, or are you holding back? Or when he's trying to talk to you and he's trying to speak to you, are you pushing him back? Are you saying, no, I don't want to give you that. Stop doing that. Stop fighting him. If we want to see God work, we corporately have to give in. We have to surrender. We have to repent. Still, as saved people, we have to repent. We still have to turn from our way. Stop fighting. Give in. Are you willing to do that? In Macedonia, they first gave of themselves. Can it be said of us here in Albuquerque, at Liberty Baptist Church on the corner of Lita and Osuna, they first gave of themselves? And then I promise you, there's no telling what God will do. There's no telling what God can do when we first give ourselves. Are you willing to do that? Let's pray. Father, we love you.